We continue now with the biblical treasury of the Catechism, compiled and arranged by Reverend Thomas E. Cox. Lesson 35, on the First and Second Commandments of the Church. Question 389. Which are the chief commandments of the Church? The chief commandments of the Church are six. To hear Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. See that thou keep my Sabbath, because it is a sign between me and you in your generations. Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. To fast and abstain on the days appointed. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. Mark chapter 2, verse 20, and Luke chapter 5, verse 35. To confess at least once a year. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another. James chapter 5, verse 16. To receive the Holy Eucharist during the Easter time. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. John chapter 6, verse 54. To contribute to the support of our pastors. So also the Lord ordained that they who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Not to marry persons who are not Catholics, or who are related to us within the fourth degree of kindred, nor privately without witnesses, nor to solemnize marriage at forbidden times. Bear not the yoke with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. For we are the children of saints, and we must not be joined together like heathens that know not God. Tobias chapter 8, verse 5. Now I praise you, brethren, that in all things you are mindful of me, and keep my ordinances as I have delivered them to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Question 390. Is it a mortal sin not to hear Mass on a Sunday or a holy day of obligation? It is a mortal sin not to hear Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation, unless we are excused for a serious reason. They also commit a mortal sin who, having others under their charge, hinder them from hearing Mass without a sufficient reason. Keep you my Sabbath, for it is holy unto you. He that shall profane it shall be put to death. Exodus chapter 31, verse 14. Keep ye my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. If any man have not care of his own, and especially of those of his house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Question 391. Why were holy days instituted by the Church? Holy days were instituted by the Church to recall to our minds the great mysteries of religion and the virtues and rewards of the saints. Bless ye the Lord, all his elect. Keep days of joy and give glory to him. Tobias chapter 13, verse 10. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verse 6. Let us now praise men of renown and our fathers in their generation. Ecclesiasticus chapter 44, verse 1. Nations shall declare his wisdom, and the Church shall show forth his praise. Ecclesiasticus chapter 39, verse 14. This day shall be for a memorial to you. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. The day of the festivity of his victory is received by the Hebrews in the number of holy days. Judith, chapter 16, verse 31. And to the festivals he added beauty, and set in order the solemn times, that they should praise the holy name of the Lord, and magnify the holiness of God in the morning. Ecclesiasticus chapter 47, verse 12. They said in their heart, the whole kindred of them together, let us abolish all the festival days of God from the land. Psalms chapter 73, verse 8. Thus did this man die, leaving not only to young men, but also to the whole nation, the memory of his death, for an example of virtue and fortitude. 2 Maccabees chapter 6, verse 31. Question 392. How should we keep the holy days of obligation? We should keep the holy days of obligation as we should keep the Sunday. And you shall call this day most solemn and most holy. You shall do no servile work therein. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 21. And you shall offer a holocaust to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 25. Bring up sacrifices and come into his courts. Adore ye the Lord in his holy court. Psalms chapter 95, verses 8 and 9. Question 393. What do you mean by fast days? By fast days, I mean days on which we are allowed but one full meal. They fasted that day till the evening. Judges chapter 20, verse 26. I proclaim there a fast by the river Ahava. 1 Esdras chapter 8, verse 21. The children of Israel came together with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. 2 Esdras chapter 9, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and great solemnities, only love ye truth and peace. Zacharias chapter 8, verse 19. They fasted and prayed before the Lord. Baruch chapter 1, verse 5. Prayer is good with fasting and alms more than to lay up treasures of gold. Tobias chapter 12, verse 8. He, Jesus, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Joel chapter 2, verse 15, and chapter 1, verse 14. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Ghost said to them, Acts chapter 13, verse 2, you shall afflict your souls. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, chapter 23, verse 27, and Numbers, chapter 29, verse 7. And the men of Nineveh believed in God, and they proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least. Jonas, chapter 3, verse 5. When the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then they shall fast. Matthew, chapter 9, verse 15, Mark chapter 2, verse 20, and Luke chapter 5, verse 35. I, Christ, covered my soul in fasting, and it was made a reproach to me. Psalms chapter 68, verse 11. And when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, sad. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Question 394. What do you mean by days of abstinence? By days of abstinence, I mean days on which we are forbidden to eat flesh meat, but are allowed the usual number of meals. You shall not eat anything leavened In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. Exodus chapter 12, verse 20. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of paradise, God hath commanded us that we should not eat. Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. Neither blood nor fat shall you eat at all. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17. Now therefore beware, and eat not any unclean thing. Judges chapter 13, verse 4, and chapter 13, verse 14. Destroy not the work of God for meat. All things indeed are clean, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Romans chapter 14, verse 20. You shall not eat the blood of any flesh at all. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 14. I cannot eat of these things which thou commandest to be given me, lest sin come upon me. Judith chapter 12, verse 2. Abstain from things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled. Acts chapter 15, verse 29. Question 395. Why does the church command us to fast and abstain? The church commands us to fast and abstain in order that we may mortify our passions and satisfy for our sins. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and Luke chapter 9, verse 23. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. But when the days will come, when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, Mark chapter 2, verse 20, and Luke chapter 5, verse 35. They that are Christ's have crucified their flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Sanctify ye your fast. Joel chapter 1, verse 14, and chapter 2, verse 15. I have put off the robe of peace, and have put upon me the sackcloth of supplication, and I will cry to the Most High in my days. Baruch chapter 4, verse 20. I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest I myself should become a castaway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. This kind of devil is not cast out but by prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. If by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Always bearing about in our body the mortification of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing unto God, your reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. That you may know the difference of the clean and the unclean, and know what you ought to eat and what to refuse. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 47. I humbled my soul with fasting. Psalms chapter 34, verse 13. A man that fasteth for his sins, and doth the same again, what doth his humbling himself profit him? Ecclesiasticus chapter 34, verse 31. A wise heart, and which hath understanding, will abstain from sins, and in the works of justice shall have success. Ecclesiasticus chapter 3, verse 32. Question 396. Why does the church command us to abstain from flesh meat on Fridays? The church commands us to abstain from flesh meat on Fridays in honor of the day on which our Savior died. And it was the day of the Paraskeve. Luke chapter 23, verse 54, Mark chapter 15, verse 42, and John chapter 19, verse 31. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. Romans chapter 14, verse 6. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth thanks to God. Romans chapter 14, verse 6. And he that discerneth if he eat is condemned, because not of faith, for all that is not of faith is sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Neither blood nor fat shall you eat at all. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17. You shall not eat anything leavened. Exodus chapter 12, verse 20. Prayer is good with fasting and alms more than to lay up treasures of gold. Tobias chapter 12, verse 8. When the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, then they shall fast. Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. Lesson 36. On the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth commandments of the church. Question 397. What is meant by the command of confessing at least once a year? By the command of confessing at least once a year is meant that we are obliged, under pain of mortal sin, to go to confession within the year. This shall be an ordinance forever, that you pray for the children of Israel and for all their sins once in a year. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 34. And putting both hands upon his head, let him confess all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their offenses and sins. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 21. For there is no one in death that is mindful of thee, and who shall confess to thee in hell? Psalms chapter 6, verse 6. And if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that neglecteth his own way shall die. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 16. Question 398. Should we confess only once a year? We should confess frequently if we wish to lead a good life. Let us go therefore with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in seasonable aid. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Wash me yet more from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Psalms chapter 50, verse 4. Delay not to be converted to the Lord, and defer it not from day to day. Ecclesiasticus chapter 5, verse 8. He that keepeth his soul keepeth his way. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17. He that is good shall draw grace from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. A faithful friend is the medicine of life and immortality, and they that fear the Lord shall find him. Ecclesiasticus chapter 6, verse 16. A sinful man will flee reproof and will find an excuse according to his will. Ecclesiasticus chapter 32, verse 21. Question 399. Should children go to confession? Children should go to confession when they are old enough to commit sin, which is commonly about the age of 7 years. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Mark chapter 10, verse 14, and Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. He that feareth the Lord will receive his discipline, and they that seek him early shall find a blessing. Ecclesiasticus chapter 32, verse 18. Out of the mouth of infants and of sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. A young man according to his way, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the time of affliction come. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Question 400. What sin does he commit who neglects to receive communion during the Easter time? He who neglects to receive communion during the Easter time commits a mortal sin. If any man did not make the phase, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Numbers chapter 9, verse 13. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. John chapter 6, verse 54. Whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. I am smitten as grass, and my heart is withered, because I forgot to eat my bread. Psalms chapter 101 and verse 5. Question 401. What is the Easter time? The Easter time is, in this country, the time between the first Sunday of Lent and Trinity Sunday. Let the children of Israel make the phase in its due time. Numbers chapter 9, verse 2. And we helping do exhort you, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an accepted time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Question 402. Are we obliged to contribute to the support of our pastors? We are obliged to contribute to the support of our pastors and to bear our share in the expenses of the church and school. Moses' hands were heavy, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands on both sides. Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. Half a sickle will be offered to the Lord. He that is counted in the number from 20 years and upwards shall give the price. Exodus chapter 30, verses 13 and 14. All, both men and women, with devout mind, offered gifts, that the works might be done which the Lord hath commanded by the hand of Moses. All the children of Israel dedicated voluntary offerings to the Lord. Exodus chapter 35, verse 29. No one shall appear with his hands empty before the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. Exodus chapter 23, verse 15. And chapter 34, verse 20, and Ecclesiasticus, chapter 35, verse 6. Everyone shall offer according to what he hath. Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 17. Give to the Most High according to what he hath given to thee, and with a good eye do according to the ability of thy hands. Ecclesiasticus, chapter 35, verse 12. Dost thou see that I dwell in a house of cedar, and the ark of God is lodged within skins? 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 2. I say to you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Luke chapter 21, verse 3. All the princes and all the people rejoiced, and going in they contributed, and cast so much into the chest of the Lord that it was filled. 2 Paralipomenon, chapter 24, verse 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and give him of the first of all thy fruits. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out thy corn on the floor. Deuteronomy, chapter 25, verse 4. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 9. And 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 18. Who feedeth a flock, and eateth not of the milk of the flock? 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great matter if we reap your carnal things? 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 11. And let him that is instructed in the word communicate to him that instructeth him in all good things. Galatians, chapter 6, verse 6. He who soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6. They that serve the altar partake with the altar. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 13. So also the Lord ordained that they who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 14. Now concerning the collections that are made for the saints, as I have given order to the churches at Galatia, so do ye also. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 1. God loveth the cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7. The laborer is worthy of his reward. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 18, Matthew, chapter 10, verse 10, and Luke, chapter 10, verse 7. The priest that offereth the victim of holocaust shall have the skin thereof. Leviticus, chapter 7, verse 8. He sent 12,000 grams of silver to Jerusalem for sacrifice. 2 Maccabees, chapter 12, verse 43. And King Joas called Joiada the high priest, and the priest, saying to them, Why do you not repair the temple? 4 Kings, chapter 12, verse 7. And the people rejoiced when they promised their offerings willingly. 1 Paralipomenon, chapter 29, verse 9. The people offereth more than is necessary. Exodus, chapter 36, verse 5. Question 403. What is the meaning of the commandment not to marry within the fourth degree of kindred? The meaning of the commandment not to marry within the fourth degree of kindred is that no one is allowed to marry another within the fourth degree of blood relationship. No one shall approach to her that is near of kin to him. Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 6. He that marrieth his brother's wife doth an unlawful thing. Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 21. It is not lawful for thee to have her. Matthew, chapter 14, verse 4. Question 404. What is the meaning of the command not to marry privately? The command not to marry privately means that none should marry without the blessing of God's priests or without witnesses. For we are the children of saints, and we must not be joined together like heathens that know not God. Tobias, chapter 8, verse 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 11. As everlasting foundations upon a solid rock, so the commandments of God in the heart of a holy woman. Ecclesiasticus, chapter 26, verse 24. Question 405. What is the meaning of the precept not to solemnize marriage at forbidden times? The meaning of the precept not to solemnize marriage at forbidden times is that during Lent and Advent, the marriage ceremony should not be performed with pomp or a nuptial mass. All things have their season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time and opportunity for every business. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast. Let the bridegroom go forth from his bed and the bride out of her bride chamber. Joel chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Question 406. What is the nuptial mass? The nuptial mass is a mass appointed by the church to invoke a special blessing upon the married couple. May a blessing come upon thy wife, and may you see your children and your children's children unto the third and fourth generation, and may your seed be blessed by the God of Israel, who reigneth forever and ever. Tobias chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, and Psalms chapter 127, verses 5 and 6. The God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob be with you, and may he join you together and fulfill his blessing in you. Tobias chapter 7, verse 15. Question 407. Should Catholics be married at a nuptial mass? Catholics should be married at a nuptial mass because they thereby show greater reverence for the Holy Sacrament and bring richer blessings upon their wedded life. For we are the children of saints, and we must not be joined together like heathens that know not God. Tobias chapter 8, verse 5. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth, proving what is well-pleasing to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. Make straight the path for thy feet, and all thy ways shall be established. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. This is a great sacrament. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Lesson 37, on the Last Judgment and the Resurrection, Hell, Purgatory, and Heaven. Question 408. When will Christ judge us? Christ will judge us immediately after our death and on the last day. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But of that day and hour no one knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father alone. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, and Mark chapter 13, verse 32. It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. As fishes are taken with the hook, so men are taken in the evil time. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with heat, and the earth and the works which are in it shall be burnt up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Watch ye therefore, because you know not what hour your Lord will come. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, and chapter 25, verse 13, and Mark chapter 13, verse 35. Wherefore be ye also ready, because at what hour you know not, the Son of Man will come. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, and Luke chapter 12, verse 40. In those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Mark chapter 13, verse 24 to 26. Behold, the day of the Lord shall come, a cruel day, and full of indignation and of wrath and fury. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. The Lord standeth up to judge, and he standeth to judge the people. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 13. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. He shall judge the world in equity. He shall judge the people in justice. Psalms chapter 9, verse 9, and chapter 95, verse 13. The day of the Lord cometh because it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and whirlwinds. The earth hath trembled, the heavens are moved. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can stand it? Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and 10 and 11, and Ezekiel chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. Take heed to yourselves, lest perhaps your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Question 409. What is the judgment called which we have to undergo immediately after death? The judgment we have to undergo immediately after death is called the particular judgment. Every one of us shall render account to God for himself. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. All things that are done, God will bring into judgment for every error, whether it be good or evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For it is easy before God in the day of death to reward everyone according to his ways. Ecclesiasticus chapter 11, verse 28. Oh, that they would be wise and would understand and would provide for their last end. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29. The Lord will judge his people. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 36. Behold, they that serve him are not steadfast, and in his angels he found wickedness. Job chapter 4, verse 18. I will come to you in judgment, and will be a speedy witness against sorcerers, and adulterers, and false swearers, and them that oppress the hirelings in his wages, the widows, and the fatherless. Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. Question 410. What is the judgment called which all men have to undergo on the last day? The judgment which all men have to undergo on the last day is called the general judgment. God shall come manifestly, and the heavens shall declare his justice, for God is judge. Psalms chapter 49, verses 3 to 6. For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest. Mark chapter 4, verse 22, Luke chapter 12, verse 2, and chapter 8, verse 17, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Judge not before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I saw the dead, great and small, standing in the presence of the throne, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged by those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Apocalypse chapter 20, verse 12. He shall judge the world in equity. He shall judge the people in justice. Psalms chapter 9, verse 9. God shall judge both the just and the wicked. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17. Thou wast a merciful God to them, and taking vengeance on all their inventions. Psalms chapter 98, verse 8. Question 411. Why does Christ judge men immediately after death? Christ judges men immediately after death to reward or punish them according to their deeds. For thou wilt render to every man according to his works. Psalms chapter 61, verse 12. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall render an account for it in the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Repaying forthwith them that hate him, immediately rendering to them what they deserve. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 10. The Lord shall be known when he executeth judgments. The sinner hath been caught in the works of his own hands. Psalms chapter 9, verse 17. For it is easy before God in the day of death to reward everyone according to his ways. Ecclesiasticus chapter 11, verse 28. We will continue with the Biblical Treasury of the Catechism, compiled and arranged by Thomas Cox, on Side B of this tape.